Hello, my sweet friends, my people. It's Nicole. How are you guys today? Happy podcast day. Happy Friday if you are listening on the day this podcast airs. I am here very early in the morning for me, trying to grab a moment. The kids are all back from all their different activities and travels, and it has been a really busy time in our home, trying to manage everybody's needs and get back into the swing of things. I'm actually like in total guilt because I have not gone to the grocery store, and I'm like thinking, do they have anything to eat for breakfast? But you know what? They are going to suck it for another 30 minutes so I can talk to you guys, because if I don't get this done, it's not going to air in time. And I made a commitment, even though I know this summer is super busy, that every Friday I will be here with you. So here I am. So what can I tell you? So I'm still kind of riding high from having taught two different weeks at Omega. One, my own retreat, and the next one I guested and took a half a day for John Gabriel's retreat. Both of them went amazingly well. Beautiful experiences. Really, really just life-changing stuff for me, you know, for me, for my confidence, for understanding that I can do this. Like, I know I could do this, but like, you know, I can really do this. I can stand in front of a room and command it for 5 days, bring in the most incredible people to stand beside me and change the trajectory of people's lives. And I will tell you, it's a great, great feeling. And I am so grateful and I am so humbled. And it is such a privilege to be able to do this work in my life. So I'm really just wanting to express that to you guys. But in any case, still really just thinking about that. I actually just signed and sent in my contract for next summer with Omega. They're having me sign very quickly because my workshop will go on sale next month in September. And that's really exciting because last year my workshop didn't go on sale until March. And so there wasn't that much time to let people sign up. And so this year we're going to have all year and I'll be able to discuss the program and, you know, I don't know, it'll just be a great opportunity for everyone to get involved. And anyway, okay, more on that like in months to come. I don't have to start promoting Omega in August. It's actually really funny because, you know, I was very, very interested / scared about Omega this year. I was interested, meaning like interested in making sure to make it such a great experience and avail as many people as possible of this information. But I was a little scared because I had never led my own headlining retreat before. And I was like, what if nobody comes, right? I mean, most of us feel that way, I think. I imagine, like, when you put yourself out there, what if nobody cares? What if nobody comes? What if nobody pays attention? What if nobody listens? That is certainly one of my big fears. But you guys did come, and it was amazing. Hand to heart, amazing. But the funny thing is, I thought to myself when it was over, well, that's one thing off my plate. You know, I've been promoting and sharing and talking about my retreat for so many months. And so it was really funny when they said, well, we're going to give you another retreat and we're going to put it on sale next month. I'm like, oh my God, I'm basically not even going to take a break because I'm going to start talking about next year, next month. But it's all such a blessing. It's such a blessing and it's so fantastic. And I'm just so excited. So, but I will put a pin in that for now and talk about today. Let's stay in today. You know what they say? Depression means you're living in the past, and anxiety means you're living in the future. And we need to live in today, because guess what, guys? That's where everything is happening. Everything is happening right now. If it's not happening today, it's not happening. And let me tell you something, from this girl talking to you right now, I have to remind myself of that shit all the time, because I am always projecting into the future. I'm not a big past person. I'm not a big reflecting on the past and regretting stuff. You know, I live pretty cleanly in my intentions. So that doesn't get me so much. It used to get me a lot before I understood that I had to really free myself of all the wreckage of my past, which I have done through my journal speak work, among other things, among other self-care routines. So I don't actually live, I don't dwell a lot in the past, but what I do is I worry a lot about the future, mostly when it comes to my kids. mostly when it comes to the health and happiness of my children. And so I'm really trying not to do that. I'm really trying to stay in today. And if you guys, so let me, I'm going to talk in a minute about the topic of this podcast, which is panic. But if you guys are new to this podcast, I know I'm getting a lot of new listeners every week. Welcome, welcome, guys. I'm so happy to have you here. And you want to learn more about my work, please go to thecureforchronicpain.com. Click on the resources tab. Everything I do is listed on the resources tab. And also please sign up for the first lesson of my course for free on the homepage. You get the lesson and then I get your email and I can, I first of all, would never spam you, nor, I know people say like, we never sell your email. I guess I should say that because people say that I don't have a clue of who I would ever sell your email to. But the email is just for me and I will use it for very rarely, but when I need to communicate new offerings that I have. In fact, one of my goals for this coming year is I need to communicate with you guys better and more often. Most of my stuff that I do is a one-woman show over here, so sometimes I don't get to everything I want to do, but that is a huge goal for the upcoming year, to really put my effort into spreading this message loud and proud, you know, as much as possible, putting my voice out there, interviews in more, I'm going to write more pieces and hopefully run more retreats and workshops and blah, blah, blah. I'm hoping for all that stuff. I'm inviting the universe to provide. I'm inviting the universe to give me those opportunities. And I have always invited the universe to do that. And guess what? She always answers me, man. So I'm just going to keep inviting that energy in. Okay. So you know where to find me. And go to my website and learn more. If you have any questions for me, I do read all the emails I get, just to let you guys know. There's a contact form on my website. I read all your emails. I don't have the capacity to answer people's personal questions. You know, this is where my pain is. What should I do? It's just, I could never do that. There's too many that come in, but I do want to tell you guys, just for all those people that write me, about, you know, wanting to tell me about their specific pain syndromes and asking me what they should do. I want to tell you guys just like a little secret that sometimes it's hard to hear, but it's the capital T truth. So just try to hear that with an open heart. The specific symptoms and the way they are exhibiting themselves in your body, it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that I'm not caring about you and how you're feeling. I'm saying if it's a migraine that comes after you eat sugar, or if it's back pain that exhibits usually when you get up in the morning, or if it's fibro that gets triggered by, you know, travel, or, you know, you could, or if it's irritable bowel that you think has to do with gluten, like, you know, all the things that you guys write me about, all of these are simply manifestations of TMS. And TMS has been explained along the lines in this podcast. It is the umbrella under which Dr. Sarno coined all chronic illness and symptoms to reside. We call it TMS because it is a simple term that covers all of these syndromes, all of these symptoms. And basically what that means is that your nervous system is in sustained fight or flight. Your brain and your nervous system are firing pain signals and symptoms and different discomforts to different muscle systems or bodily systems in your body that are flaring up as a result of protecting you from the predator of your repressed emotions. If you're new to this, you might say, that sounds crazy, Nicole. And I will tell you, it does sound crazy. I have always thought it sounded crazy, but for 25 years, I've been doing this work in my own body and with thousands of people around the world. And as crazy as it sounds, when you start uncovering your repressed emotions consistently with belief in the process and with patience and kindness for yourself, they go away. You know, one person's irritable bowel is another person's back pain, is another person's fibromyalgia, is another person's knee pain, is another person's migraine. They go away. The pain signals simply stop firing. And so as crazy as it sounds, it works, because we are not yet up to speed in Western medicine about not only the importance, the imperative of the mind-body connection, which is everything, guys. It is just everything. And I say that like there's like a depth of my soul that starts getting stirred when I talk like this, because it's just true. So when you write me these emails, know that I do love you and I do read them. But really what I want to tell you most is it doesn't matter how it's manifesting in your body. Do the work. Go to my website. Learn about it. You know, if you can afford it, I try to make it very reasonable. Take the course because the course really will bring you through this work. And of course, you know, pay attention to my newsletter and my resources page, because as I do more live events and as I teach more to you guys personally, I know how much of an impact that makes after Omega. I know it 100-fold. So I'm going to keep going, and you're going to keep going too. And I know you can do this. So let's talk a little bit about panic. Panic is, it's a tricky one, guys. Panic disorders, panic attacks, anxiety that rises to the level of panic is very common, very common. And I want to just start the conversation by telling you that if you're a person that experiences panic, and if you're a person that suffers, like, or you've been diagnosed with some sort of panic disorder, it does not mean that you are wrong or bad or, you know, other than normal, or, you know, you're never going to be okay. This is such a normal part of human functioning. I just want to really normalize it for you. I want to begin by normalizing it for you. If you think about our parasympathetic nervous system and the fight or flight response that saves our lives, the first and foremost responsibility of our brain and nervous system is to keep us alive. Without life, nobody gives a shit if they have back pain. If you're not alive, none of this stuff matters. So being alive is number one. And panic is a response that shuts down everything and helps us attend to only the most important job: staying alive, survival. And so if you are a person plagued by panic, I'm going to tell you that nothing is wrong with you inherently. You're just probably a sensitive person. You're probably an intuitive person. You probably pay attention a lot. You probably pay, you know, your antenna is probably pretty sharp looking around this world. And you notice, and when you notice enough stuff and enough things are triggered in your nervous system and your fight or flight response, it might overfire and you might have these responses. So let me talk a little bit about what's going on personally in my life. And the reason I'm telling you straight up that I have this personal experience going on right now, that if you are experiencing this, it does not mean that there is that something has been done that is wrong, or that you're doing something wrong. It might just be a function of where you're at and how you're built, and we can really, really work with that. Okay, so my 11-year-old daughter, if you guys are fans of the pod and you listen to it, you probably have heard me talk about her. She's actually the guest on one of my podcasts earlier in the year when she had a diagnosis of what they call dual accessory nystebular bones in her feet. And she was giving it a lot of meaning because she is a serious dancer. And in that meaning, in that fear, the bones and the skin had puffed up and reddened, and it were very painful and were causing her difficulty in dancing. And after getting all the right medical advice, because that is imperative, we always check our bodies out first. I don't want anyone to be doing my work if they've never been to a doctor and never had themselves checked out, because you could have something like a tumor, or, you know, something that needs medical, you could have an infection that needs antibiotics. So, I mean, I always say go first. But if a doctor tells you that your condition is chronic and might require a structural surgery or something like that, that's when you can press the pause button, come back and take a look at this work. So we did take her to the orthopedist. We took her and he took a look, and he was very concerned. And he was, to me, like, give me a freaking break. You don't talk like this in front of an 11-year-old. But he said, oh, well, this is a very severe case. They're very pronounced, and she's definitely going to need surgery. And my daughter, of course, burst into hysterical tears. And that led to about a month of chronic problems with her feet. until, and I researched, I mean, I'm not like an idiot. Like I know that I have to take this stuff seriously. This is my baby. And I researched the surgery and I read horrible things about the surgery. I read tons of stuff from dancers reporting that the incision site, then there were, they had nerve pain in the incision site, and that the pain of the bones where they were protruding still didn't stop after having the surgery, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, this is just another misguided, although I'm sure well-intentioned, surgical solution for something that doesn't need surgery. These are bones. Yes, they protrude. It kind of looks like she has two ankles on each of her feet. There's her ankle bone and there's a bone below it. And but I'm like, this doesn't need to account for her pain. I actually also read a study that people who are diagnosed with dual accessory vestibular bones, only 5% of them are even symptomatic. If you're not a dancer, you don't pay attention to your feet, you actually might have this and not even know it. So anyway, I decided to do the TMS work with her. And it was really, really amazing because we started doing the work and she started to understand that nothing was wrong with her and that she didn't need to have the symptoms. And she actually came on the podcast. If you guys are interested, you can hear her talk about it. She's the cutest thing ever. And she's been completely symptom-free for a year now. I mean, she has the bones, but there's no redness, no pain, no swelling. It's a distant memory for her. She dances every night now because it's preseason to Nutcracker. And she's totally, totally fine. So there you go. So there's that. And so let me then tell you, though, about what has been going on with her lately. So obviously she's a sensitive kid. And when you're a sensitive kid, you do have proclivity toward mind-body issues, basically emotionally derived and emotionally generated issues playing themselves out in your body and in your heart. And so she has had a summer of panic. She was supposed to go to two different camps, both of which she could not go. The first one she had to come home from, and the second one we canceled it before she even went, because it was that upsetting. It was really upsetting. It was upsetting for all of us. She just kept having panic, and she kept having what I like to call meaning attached to the panic. So she would feel the physical anxiety in her stomach, and she would feel horrible, you know, wave of terror all over her body that she couldn't be away from home, or she couldn't be in a situation that made her uncomfortable. And then she would start attaching all sorts of meaning to it, like, well, what if that happens next time? Or what if that happens in this situation? Or, and then of course, an additional meaning, which is everybody's fine but me. Why am I like this? What's wrong with me? And when you hear your child talk like that, it's of course very upsetting, but it also makes me understand that she is living in the future all the time, projecting, pre-grieving, figuring that things that used to be okay for her now aren't going to be okay for her. And this is a kid, and the reason I want to normalize this for you, this is a child that has been loved and nurtured 100%. She has three loving parents, because of course Tiffany and I are married, and then she has her dad, who we all have a great relationship. She has four siblings who adore her. She gets along. There's not a lot of fighting in my house. You know, it's really a very loving, kind, respectful environment. She is well-liked. She gets good grades in school. She is good at things that she tries. I mean, she's a well-rounded, kind, mature, respectful, and respected person. And still, this summer, she has been paralyzed in panic. So just because this happens to you doesn't mean that something is wrong with you inherently. It means that you are in a sustained fight or flight, which she definitely has been this summer. And it means that you are making a lot of meaning out of the things that are happening in your lives and what might happen next. So here's what I want to say about solutions for panic and about journal speak and how we can apply this work to panic. So let's say, you know, a situation is coming up. Let's say you have to take a bus right? You have to take a bus somewhere because it's, you don't have a car and you have to take a bus. And on that bus, last time you were on a bus or last time you were in any sort of public transportation, you had a panic attack. You felt like you were going to throw up. You started sweating. You got off before your stop. I'm making this up, but I mean, this is the kind of stuff that happens to people. And so now every time you look at a bus, you think about a bus, you say, oh my God, that's going to happen to me again. And just by the very meaning that you're giving to that situation, you start to feel it happening to you again, even in the moment, even thinking about that. So here's what I want to say about panic. The first thing I want to say, guys, is panic attacks cannot kill you. They feel like they're going to kill you, but they cannot kill you. I once had a client who had panic attacks so badly. I mean, it was happening 3-4 days a week. And I said to her, what's the worst that can happen? And she goes, well, I pass out and I throw up. And, you know, she had very severe. And I said, okay, you pass out and you throw up. Okay. So next time you feel one coming on, I want you to find a safe space, a place that you, if you pass out or if you throw up, at least you're not going to get arrested or die. You know, find a place. And at the time, she was at a friend's house, and that space was a bathroom. You know, what ended up happening. And so I said, find a space, and here's what I want you to do. Don't try to change it. Don't try to escape it. Don't try to resist it, because we all know what we resist persists. I want you to just be in it. I want you to open your arms to it and say, I hear you are here to help me and protect me. Okay. And she said, she really wanted to get rid of these. And she said, okay. So it turned out she was at a friend's house and she felt one coming on. And she excused herself. She said, I'm not well. The friend knew that she had panic disorder. And she said, I'm going to go into the bathroom. Don't worry about me. I'll be fine. I just, you know, give me a minute. And she said she knew she was going to pass out. So she laid down on the floor, on the bathroom. This isn't fun stuff, but this is what happened. She laid down on the floor. She was spinning. She felt like she was going to throw up. And she was sweating. And she laid down on the floor. And she said, I can do anything for 20 minutes. I can do anything for 20 minutes. It's not going to kill me. Can't really last that much longer than 20 minutes. We picked 20 minutes. And she laid on the floor and she spun. She actually didn't throw up because she didn't get herself that worked up. She sweated, she spun. She was in it. She was just in it. She's like, we are here. We are here. We are here. I'm okay. I'm not going to die. There's no way this can kill me. There's no reason to escalate this. It's trying to protect me. I do not need protection. I love you. I love you. I'm here. It's okay. And it passed. She got up. She got up slowly. She figured out she wasn't going to pass out. She washed her face. And I'm going to tell you this. You guys are going to think it's crazy. She never got a panic attack again. Now, I'm not saying it always works this crazy good, but I'm just saying this is what we need to give our panic. We need to give it our respect, and we need to say, I'm okay. Because when we panic, what we do is we resist the situation, you know? And so let's say you're the person who you need to take that bus. Let me tell you something about being on that bus. I understand it's really scary. I understand. And I understand that you are terrified. So here's what I would do if I were you. First of all, bring something with you if you had to throw up like they do on airplanes. I know that this is going to be like, you're like, that is so awful. I would rather die than throw up on a bus. But I'm saying bring something with you. The whole point is to show your system that you're going to be okay. Bring something with you if you have to throw up. When it starts to happen, you breathe. You say, it's fine. If this is the life that I've been given, so be it. Now, I know that you don't feel that way, but what we resist persists. So sometimes acceptance in these situations changes everything. It changes everything. And sit on that bus. When you start to sweat, be like, I'm sweating right now. I'm sweating and I'm scared. I'm scared and this is so uncomfortable and I hate having to be in public when I feel this way, but I'm going to be all right. And you sit with it. You look out the window. Maybe you bring something with you that brings you comfort, you know, a little transitional object, something you can hold in your hand. I love like a smooth stone, maybe made of a mineral or an element that is peaceful, that is soothing to you. Hold it in your hand. Some people like to bring a straw and breathe through a straw so it helps control your breathing. Just be there. I'm telling you guys, this is something you can get through. I'm working with my daughter right now, and what we decided to do for her, since she's a child and, you know, she doesn't get the same choices as adults get because she's little, we decided to really simplify her life. And I told her this. I'm very straight up with her. I said, honey, you are clearly paralyzed, because she was basically like scared to do anything, scared to go with a friend, scared to walk out of the house. And I said, we're going to simplify. Everything is canceled. Every sleepover you have, every play date, you know, she's supposed to go skiing this winter. Right now, for today, because we're only living in today, everything is canceled. All that stuff is done. We're not doing it. And if you change your mind sometime in the future, then that will be that day. But today, everything is canceled. All you have to do is be in today. All you have to do is do whatever we decide we both want to do today. And little by little, over the last few days, since I did that, since I simplified, since I told her, and I also told her, we're not going to run away from this, honey. We made an appointment with a therapist. We're going to see her on Wednesday. She seems very lovely. I said, we're not going to run away from this, but you know what? It's okay. You know, she's going into sixth grade. There's a lot of anxiety around that. She's just starting puberty. There's a lot of hormonal changes. It's normal. It's okay. I'm okay, just like I am. That's what acceptance is, guys. It's I'm okay just like I am. I don't need to be any different today. Can you imagine that? I know I've said this before, but I cannot say it enough times. It's a quote from Danielle Laporte in a book called White Hot Truth, and she says, can you imagine not craving to be any different than you are right now? Take a breath. Can you imagine not craving to be any different than you are right now? Because here's the sacred paradox. Transformation begins with the radical acceptance of what is. Do you guys understand the gravity of that statement? Transformation begins. We're all here because we want to transform. That's why we're here. Transformation begins with the radical acceptance of what is. If you're 400 pounds and your like whole life is spent not being able to deal with the fact that you're 400 pounds, you can't even believe it, you won't think it, you can't be it, and all your energy goes toward not wanting to be what you are right now, I promise you, weight loss, sustained weight loss, is going to be incredibly difficult. The people I know, because I just came from the John Gabriel retreat, which is a mind-body weight loss retreat, the people I know that have been 400 pounds, which I know several that are now completely healthy, normal weights, exercising and living their best life, those people began that weight loss journey that led to a sustained healthy life by saying, all right, I'm 400 pounds. That's me. If I'm 400 pounds for the rest of my life, I guess I better accept that because that's who I am. Okay, here I am. That's fine. Here I am. It's called acceptance. Every one of those people is healthy now that has done that. And that's what John Gabriel teaches. So look into his work if you're struggling with your weight. It's amazing. It's called the Gabriel Method. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is that transformation begins with the radical acceptance of what is. So you have a panic disorder. So you struggle with panic. That's what is, guys. That's what's going on. You can sit with your journal speak, and it's a beautiful practice to do a practice of what is. I have a panic disorder. This is what it looks like. Pretend you're a court reporter, and you're just reporting on your condition. This is what it looks like. I have a panic disorder. When I do this, this, and this, I start to feel this, this, and this. This is what's happening. This is what is. Get it all down. Write it all out. And then look at that and say, yep, that's me. And I know that acceptance feels like resignation, guys, but I cannot promise you enough, it is not. Acceptance is the door through which all your freedom resides. My little baby, she needs to accept, because she kept saying to me, Mommy, I don't want to be like this. I just want to be like I used to be. And I said, Sharsh, there is no used to be. You're going to grow up, and every year you're going to be bigger, and you're going to be different, and your hormones are going to change, and life keeps getting more challenging, and that's what happens. We are not resisting this. You are who you are today, and here we are. I mean, it's such a great opportunity to be a parent and do this shit right. And I invite all of you guys that we can reparent ourselves. Not every way that we were treated was kind or just or right. I hear you. I know. But we can reparent ourselves today with that same kind, loving patience that I give to my children. We can do that for ourselves. We all can. So, all right, well, on that note, I am hearing rumblings downstairs, and I know that I am pushing it with 30 minutes of talking to you guys without being interrupted by my little monsters. So I'm going to jump, but I want you guys to know that I love you. I know you can do this. I know this is hard, but if you can just start to accept where you are right now, today, and understand that treating yourself with patience and kindness and forgiveness and acceptance is the way out, you are on the right course. And if you have enjoyed this podcast today, if you are enjoying it, I would really appreciate it if you could jump over to iTunes and search up The Cure for Chronic Pain with Nicole Sachs and rate and review it. It really helps, and not to mention warms my heart beyond when I see what you guys have to say in the comments. All right, well, it's been a pleasure. Until next time, this has been The Cure for Chronic Pain with Nicole Sachs. That's me. Bye-bye.